Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast, with your hosts, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sharman Phillip. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter /X at Liftoff Jets. You could also follow Sharman at GrownFolk1980. You can follow myself at CP7NY. You could also find our podcast wherever you find your podcasts, at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, iHeartRadio. And you could also find us at sportswireradio.org. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at Thomas Bryce 2017, for all the other scheduling of all the other great shows that are on there. So, Sharman, we started off slow in free agency, but I'd say we picked it up in the past, like, week.
Yeah, I mean, we did say that that Joe Douglas was shopping at, a bargain store, basically, right?
Yeah.
That's what he was looking for. I mean, some of those dollars look like a lot of money, but if you peer in a little closer, you will see that it's a lot of incentive-laden contracts. Because given the history that a lot of those guys come with, you would be a fool to give them a lot of guaranteed money. So, it was all around happy, thoughts by all of us Jets fans to see the front office actually go out and make it look like, hey, listen, we don't have that much time anymore. This is it. This is basically it for us. We have to go out there and, and do the best that we can to make this season the actual memorable season that last year was going to be. So,
yeah. Well, we finally got our left tackle, Tyron Smith.
Yes. Yes.
Talk a little bit about Tyron Smith from Dallas, how good this guy is when he's
healthy. Yeah, when he's healthy, basically one of the best left tackles in the NFL. One of the best left tackles you've ever seen in the NFL. That's how good he is. Good with his hands. He incredibly athletic. Incredibly efficient with his movement, efficient with his hand usage, with his feet, and on top of all that technical stuff, ridiculously strong. So if you made the mistake where he got his hands on you, you're done completely. That's just almost an all-around great left tackle. That's who he is when he's healthy. If he played in the NFL without injury, he wouldn't have been at the Jets right now. He would have been a Cowboy stalwart for the rest of his life. Wouldn't have been traded, and would have probably had a bust in Canton.
And
basically, that's what it is.
That's the kind
of player we're talking about.
I think he's still headed there too. I mean, we're talking about
a two-time
Pro Bowler, two-time All Pro, two-time second team All Pro.
Yeah.
He already made the All 2010 team. He is that good. The problem is if he's healthy, right? Because this guy has missed a game in every season since 2015. 2015 was his last season that he played a full season. 2015. That's pretty amazing in 9 years. I mean, he hasn't missed a lot of games. A lot of times he misses three games. He played 4 straight years. He played 13 games. And then in 2020, he only played two. 2021, he played 11. 2022, he played four. And last year, he played 13. So 13 seems to be a big number for him.
That's pretty significant because when we're talking about the NFL, those numbers, the last four games in the season, that's make or break, right?
I would say so.
For most teams, that's make or break. If you don't have your best player, then your ship is sunk. And when you said that, he might get into When I said he might get into Canton, I'm just saying that he was a shoo-in, like first ballot Hall of Fame,
right,
type player. If the injury weren't an issue, the reason why he is all what you say he is because when he plays, he's just so much better than everybody else. When you watch him play, it's not easy mostly to watch a tackle or guard play and be able to kind of tell the nuance of the game, because there's so much about it that is giving and taking, or you know, missing and you know, and basically losing and to win and all that kind of stuff. There is not that much of his game that has anything to do with that. He's a straight demon. That's it. You do anything wrong, you lose. You do a lot right, you lose. You do right, you lose. If Tyron Smith is going to beat you, it's just that. It's going to beat you. The best defensive ends have problems with Tyron Smith. That's the kind of player we're talking about. But unfortunately, the conversation goes, yeah, but. When it comes to him, that's all I meant when I said what I said. I wasn't in no way trying to denigrate the man in any way when I said that.
Without the injuries, you'd be talking about him already as a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. Now,
you know, you're talking about like a top 20 all time tackle right now. That's how good this guy is. Now, just look at that last year. I'll give you an example of the games he missed. He missed week 3, 4, 7. And 15. So he was good for the last couple of weeks and the playoff game that they played last year. So
probably would have changed so much about that game. Going back, thinking about what happened in a lot of those games, it would have changed a lot.
Well, they lost a lot. They lost two of the four games he played. He didn't play.
Yeah.
He lost the Miami game late. I don't know if you remember that one in Miami.
I kind of do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he lost the game at Arizona. But that was early week 3, so we all know how the first couple of weeks go in the NFL anyway. But yeah, that's – I mean, listen, the great thing is, yeah, we got him now. We got him. And the offensive line, when you pan out and you look at how good this offensive line is when healthy, it's pretty good. Tackles, you got Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses on the right side. Left guard is going to be, what's his name? John Simpson.
Right.
And the right guard is going to be Tucker. And then the center is going to be Pittman.
Yep.
I mean, going in as that is your starting five, that's great. But
that's crazy.
Yeah. But we know there's question marks around at least two of them, right?
There's question marks with Tucker and Taylor.
Right. But when they play, they're all pro.
Yeah.
Now that's going to bring up the big question.
I mean, with Tucker and Smith, I mean, I'm sorry, I said Taylor.
Right, that's going to bring up a big question mark as we get into the draft, which direction, you know, what direction we go in. But before we get there,
yes,
we got another guy yesterday, thanks to the Taylor ham egg and cheese sandwich.
shout out to NYJ, NYJ, Matt.
And you know what?
He
got big because he got on the Michael K show today.
Did he?
Yes. Yeah. I'm surprised it's not posted.
That's what's up.
Yeah,
what's up.
I'm watching it. I'm like, oh my God, he's got. I said that was great. So they praised.
That was awesome.
And loved him. He sounded great on TV. So that was awesome. But the big thing is now we got Mike Williams, wide receiver from the Chargers.
Yeah.
What can you talk about him? What can you say about him?
Oh, man. Size. Sizey. If that's a word. But if that's his description, but that's not what makes his game, I think he is a genuine wide receiver in that he could lower his hips, he could get out of his breaks. He catches he's a hands catcher. He catches the ball extremely well away from his body. That's why he could make all those highlight catches. He understands how to get open. I think he's deceptively quick and he's deceptively fast. Because of his size and a lot of the highlight catches you see, you're thinking, oh, this guy can't separate. I would say that you would be completely wrong. I think he can, and if you're not very careful, you would have him wide open a lot of times, because he is fast enough to get to places on the field where he's wide open. So, yeah, he has a lot about his game that is quite dangerous when you if you pair him with a player like Garrett Wilson, who could play underneath. That's his game. I think we spoke about this.
Yep.
When we said who you would pair Garrett Wilson with, you pair him with somebody that could play up top, and you let him beat up people underneath. This is crazy. This is a match made in heaven, in my opinion, because the quarterback we're talking about is somebody that you just cannot fool with when it comes to throwing balls deep. One of the most deadly assassins when it comes to throwing the ball deep downfield. And one of the just deadly assassins all around throwing the football. So you give him a wide receiver that could, one of the best at getting the ball, you know, to go up and get the ball at any point, anywhere. And then the person throwing the ball is one of the best at getting the ball there, right? Because I don't know, how many Hail Marys have you seen him throw successfully?
Oh, yeah.
And it just happened to be the best Hail Mary catcher. One of the best Hail Mary catchers in the last 10 years in the NFL is Mike Williams, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So you have that, you combine these two, and then the icing on the cake, which in my opinion, he's not icing on the cake. He definitely is better than that. But Garrett Wilson, in my opinion, is the cake.
Yeah, he's the main.
Because,
right.
Yeah, because what will happen is you cannot, as a defense, do anything other than pay attention to him. You can't. He's way too quick. He's way too quick. These over routes that he'll be running, you better respect that. Because if he catches when he catches the ball, it'll be 20 yards later, you'll be looking for him. And yeah, if you were sleeping, those 20 yards will be touchdown. So it's either that or this, or either this or that. And then pair that with whichever other weapon they could find. I'm just saying,
mm-hmm.
this fitting to be fun, my friend.
Oh yeah, it's definitely got potential, because now instead of Alan Lazard as your number two, now he's the three option, right?
Thank you very much.
That makes
now we're getting the conversation that I enjoy even more than the conversation I just had, because now you fit the man into a place where he could play. You're not asking him to be the primary. You're not asking him to be the secondary. You're asking him to be the tertiary guy. You're asking him to play against guys that are not on his level. Because he has enough knowledge, he's been around for long enough, and he has enough chemistry with Aaron Rodgers and his knowledge of the system that he could beat up on third tier corners. And he could go up and get the ball as much as Williams could. If with Aaron Rodgers, though, not everybody else. I don't know how that works, but that there's some kind of voodoo between them. It only works with Aaron Rodgers. But that's neither here nor there. But I think that's awesome. And I think we can't leave this conversation without talking about the fact that, I don't know, what do you like with your dessert? Ice cream? Coffee? I don't know. Whichever you like with your dessert, we have something better than that in Breece Hall. So I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. This is incredibly fun to think about the potential of what this can be. But at this point, it is all it is. It's potential. This front office still has to bring this home, in my opinion. This is a great start, and I feel it. I understand it. I'm enjoying it, but we're not here yet. You gotta bring this home, Joe Douglas. I think if you're looking at that line, that offensive line, we know that AVT has not been hit. Even if we could call them freak injuries, keep that man inside at guard and give him a backup. Somebody that's capable of giving you 3-4 games here and there that could play in the NFL, right? And get you a backup swing tackle or backup left tackle. You understand me? I think that's a good deal. And I think the conversation probably would go to I saw somebody post this up, and this is a great question. In the evaluation of our tight ends, do you think we have a second tight end or a third tight end on this roster?
Well, what do we think of Rucker?
That's the question.
I don't know.
Yeah, because
I'd love for him to break out this year.
Right. But is the eval complete?
Right.
Did he play enough snaps? Did he show enough that you think good enough of him that hey, this is in a situation like in an atmosphere like what we're talking about, where we're going all out with the kind of weapons we have here, right? Is he the guy that'll be able to be the glue to stick all of this together? Or do we go out and get a, you know,
somebody at 10?
Number 10. Yes, sir.
That's where, you know, that's going to be the conversation, right? Because now we kind of laid it out, right? Where mm-hmm. we're at each position. Tight ends, yes. We know our top two tight ends. Third, yes. They signed Yeboah, and they still got the guy from last year, Kuntz, the undrafted guy.
Yes.
Still got him. So those are our four tight ends. Wide receivers, you got to throw in Xavier Gibson as well.
And the other kid.
Charles, right? Or
Brownlee.
Brownlee.
Yes.
Right? So we got those guys as well. So there is some depth there as well. Backup tackle. Are you ready to roll with Carter Warren as your main backup tackle?
Great question. Great question. Is that eval complete? And do you have faith in this kid to be able to back that up?
Mm.
Back up a player like what we're talking about, like Tyron Smith, where he's, you know, there's not any ridiculous amount of fallout between his play and, you know, and whoever's backing him up. Because if the fall is of his play is so bad that your team is basically done for after that, then what are we doing? Mm-hmm. So shouldn't we go out and get somebody closer in, in stature?
Right.
You know, that's the thing.
Right. I think that's going to be the big story from now until the draft, right? Because if they don't get somebody, like, let's say, because Bakhtiari is still out there, right?
Bakhtiari, yes.
Bakhtiari, excuse me.
Yes. But now, would he want to play a backup role, though? That's the question.
For not that much money.
There you go.
That's going to be the question. If he does, hey, if Aaron Rodgers could work his magic, yeah, that would be a great backup. Because obviously we know how good he could be. But he's got the injury issue too. So that's, I think all those questions lead us into the draft. So let's say we don't add anybody else. This is who we got. No major pieces. Let's say it that way. We get to the draft. Now we're sitting at number 10. I mean, now the options are there because there's plenty. There's plenty of options. Like you said.
Yeah, well, you can't. Well, if you did not add, in my opinion, in free agency, you did not add backup on or depth in on the offensive line, both at interior guard or at tackle, then that forces you to have to pick that at the in the draft. That means you'll have to go at tackle at 10, in my opinion. Because what you as deep as I think the tackle a pool is in the draft, I don't think picking a tackle in the third round is where is gonna help you with going where you wanna go this season or next season or you know, or this coming season. I don't think that's a wise decision to make at all.
Right.
You know, I think whatever they do, I think they got to come off a free agency with that player. Or get him or pick him up top, pick him at number 10. That's my belief.
Yeah. Well, what
yeah, go ahead, Chris.
So you could also maybe trade down a little bit to like the 20 to about say, let's say top 20 ish pick. And instead of getting one of the top three guys, you know, you're not getting obviously Joe Alt, probably not Fashanu from Penn State.
Mm-hmm. Fashanu, yeah,
probably not going to get Fuaga from Oregon State. Maybe Latham drops that low. Maybe
no, he's not Mims. All those players you're talking about, they're not dropping that low.
I don't know if they're going to, I don't know.
They're second level players. They're getting picked in the first round, bro.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying drop out of this. I'm saying in the 20s, you still might be able to grab somebody like Mims or the guy from Oklahoma, Guyton.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. Okay. So I'll pose the question then. Okay. Because that's a great hypothetical, but at number 10, right? Somebody wants to come up for who and for what?
Right. That's the big question.
Exactly. Because we were having this conversation before, we were talking about what parts of the draft that is the most intriguing parts of the draft, right? Because normally what it is, it's quarterback, right? for my opinion, the players at quarterback that are the most intriguing, in my opinion, those guys are not that intriguing. The two guys that are going, they're going to be gone. The third one, the third guy, he's going to be gone, in my opinion. So there's three of those guys are going to go top 10 at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the top three wide receivers, definitely going to go before. There's a hot chance that one of them drops to us. Hot chance that one of those wide receivers drop to us. There's almost no chance none of those quarterbacks come anywhere close to 10. So count out the quarterback.
Yeah, the top four.
Right.
For sure. So four. So here, let's do the math.
Who's your top four quarterbacks?
My personally or the ones? The ones personally, that are going around, right? You got...
Right, don't worry. Uh-huh.
Caleb Williams, May, Daniels,
right,
and probably J.J. McCarthy, because that's all I've been hearing. J.J. McCarthy, it's going to come down to, like, I think I don't think he's going to fall further than the Giants at six.
That, Chris, listen, man, I don't know how to say this. I don't know how to say this respectfully. I really don't, to tell you the truth. Anybody that tells me that J.J. McCarthy is a top 10 pick in this draft is ridiculous. Come on, bro. Come on. I don't know. Listen, if Chris, you watch this kid play, right?
Yeah.
You watch Daniel Jones play, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that kid better than Daniel Jones?
I think he's smart. I think he's definitely smarter than him. I'll give him that. physically gifted. I don't know if he's better than, you know, physically gifted. I don't know if he is more than Daniel Jones, but smarting, you know, just smart wise, I think he's a smarter football player than Daniel Jones is. He's got that. And he's a better leader than Daniel Jones is. We'll give him that. But is he physically gifted? Does he have as strong as an arm as Daniel Jones? You know, can he scramble like him? He could do both good, but I think Daniel Jones has those two above him a little bit. But the rest,
you know where, in my opinion, you know where you went wrong. The moment you said that he's smarter than Daniel Jones, you went wrong, and I'll tell you why you went wrong there. That's just my take, right? That's just my take. I totally understand why you're saying this, right? Daniel Jones throws interceptions. Daniel Jones throws interceptions not because Daniel Jones is dumb. Daniel Jones throws interceptions because he's incredibly, aggressive. He's a gunslinger. That's his way of throwing, playing football, right? You, as a coach, you're supposed to right the ship. You're supposed to kind of like direct that kind of energy in a positive way. When you fail that, because that's what the Giants coach did that made him look so good that it got them to pay him that money, right? Mm-hmm. They took the power from him and had him focus on being more efficient as a quarterback instead of trying to get all these yards that he kept trying to do and fitting balls into tight windows constantly instead of being on time in an offense, right? Which is what a quarterback is now, right? J.J. McCarthy, right, is a good football player. Don't get me wrong, right? Mm-hmm. He's a good football player. The problem with J.J. McCarthy for me is that J.J. McCarthy is missing something very, like, it's not only the arm strength and all that. It's partly the arm strength. I'm trying to sugarcoat this. Mm. I don't think he could make all the pro throws. I'm just saying this. Right. I could be completely wrong. I can't tell. If you told me that JJ, you asked him to throw from hash to hash an out route on the button, that ball would come out fluttering. In the NFL, that's an interception. I do not have the faith in that ball as much as I would have in the faith in Daniel Jones to make that. Do I think that the potential of J.J. McCarthy of that being a better quarterback is higher than Daniel Jones? Yes. You know why? Because he would take the throw that is better suited for the offense more times than not, which would be better for the system. But that does not make him a top 10 player. Top 10 players change games. You understand what I'm saying?
But a lot of times, or for most of his 4 years or whatever it was at Michigan, he didn't have to. The question will be, can he do that when asked to?
That's the thing.
But someone thinks that. That's the other thing. Somebody in the NFL or more than one team thinks that.
Who?
The Giants are one. If the Giants are talking
about... That's smoke and mirrors. That's smoke and mirrors, my friend.
Why would they do that?
If that... Hey, Chris, we've been following the draft for how long now?
Okay.
And every year we have these same conversations about players, right? Remember what people were saying about our guy, right? About our corner, about Sauce Gardner, right? Mm-hmm. Did we think Sauce Gardner was going to go to the Jets?
No.
Exactly. Nobody thought Sauce Gardner was going to the Jets. Actually, people are like, he's a good corner, but he ain't that good.
So, okay, so Chicago. Think about with the Bears. Are they, it's not a secret who's going to number one, right?
Of course it's not a secret.
Oh, okay.
They've made it, we don't even have to really think that hard about it. We know they made it very clear what they're going to do with them trading away Justin Fields. And I've told you before, off of my opinion,
mm-hmm.
the Williams is the best quarterback in the draft, bar none. There's nobody, not even close. I have said that in getting in my feelings because I just think that he's a big baby.
I think a lot
that's
of people.
That's annoying to me, and I hate it. So maybe because I got in my feelings, I'm like, I don't like this kid. You understand me? And that's on me. But pure talent? No. None of those guys could sniff this kid when it comes to being a quarterback. That's just, it is what it is.
All right, so
you understand me?
Sorry, so let me ask you this. You think the Giants
yes.
are throwing this much smoke up by saying mm-hmm. at the combine that
yes.
the whispers that were going around that they're A, done with Daniel Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first hint that they were done with him. And number two, they've brought in the top four quarterbacks in for to talk to them.
I'm of the mindset that they're probably trading down. And they're gonna trade down and pick a quarterback when they trade down.
I think they should.
Because I think that's where their mind is. I don't think they're picking a quarterback at four. I think they're trading down.
Well,
because
they're at six.
They're at six? Yeah. Sorry. I think that's where they are. And the reason why I think that is because the possibility that when whoever it is gets to six, it's probably not going to be a player they like. That's the possibility they're working on. So they're working on the possibility that they might have to trade back because the player that they would like at that number would probably won't be there. And whoever that's going to be there, they wouldn't want to pick them there. So it would be in their best interest to get a couple picks and go trade back down and pick a quarterback that they know will fall.
That's my
which would work perfectly because I think if you pick JJ McCarthy late in the first round, I ain't mad at you. I am not mad at you.
But that doesn't make sense.
Why?
Because now you're hoping that he falls. If you like,
it's not that you're hoping because that's what he's worth. That's his value.
It's not about what he's worth. A quarterback, if you like a guy that much, if you like him that much and you're sitting at six and he drops to you at six, you're willing to say, man, you know what? I'm gonna trade down to like 15 or 16 and he'll be there because that's what I think he's worth.
But Chris, let me ask you a question, right? What was your attitude towards the Giants picking Daniel Jones where they picked him last year? The year they picked him.
Well, here was my opinion, okay? Because a friend of mine asked me to say
you remembered, right? You remembered. No.
But remember, they had two first round picks that year. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
You have two first round picks. Now they had the high one and then their other one was like, I'm gonna take a guess and say it was like 17 or 18, maybe 20. Basically what we're talking about. I am not, if I liked a quarterback that much, if I liked this guy that much, I'm not going to gamble that he's going to fall. Even if I'm thinking like you, like, you know what, if I could get him at 17, I'll feel a lot better. But you know what? I can't take that chance because
Chris,
if someone else in the league likes him? They're going
to. There is so much more to just liking the guy.
No, it isn't.
You know, think about what it means when you pick a guy sixth overall. The kind of money that's tied into him, if he does not pan out, because again, you could like a guy, right? But if you miss on that pick and he does not turn out, look at the kind of money you'll have to send this guy packing, just like the Chicago Bears just had to send Justin Fields packing, and you just lost the pick.
I agree.
And you have to start all over again. If you could turn, this is why I don't think it has to be a like-love thing. I just think it is what it is. If you get the chance to pick him late, you get to pick him. If somebody picks him, you get to pick him. Fine. You take a shot at somebody else because I think there's probably somebody else that might have the same kind of, probably not the same experience, but has the same physical attributes as him. Because again, I don't think this guy has separated himself physically from anybody. I think what separates him is his experience and who he played for.
Right.
That helped a lot. I seriously, man, and I could be completely wrong. I do not think if this kid had played, not played where he played, I don't think his name would be everywhere. You understand me? And that's no disrespect to the kid. I
get what you're saying.
He's okay. But he's okay. That's why picking him at six is, to me, that's career suicide for front office.
I get what you're saying, but that's what you think of him. But obviously, these other front offices, there has to be one or two teams that think this. If they think that he's going to go in the top, whatever, six picks, five picks, whatever it's going to be, seven, whatever it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? You're going by what you think of him.
Yeah,
I'm going by, you're right. Right? Unfortunately, we're not GMs, right? We're just fans. So
no, you're right. You're right.
We're football. They're the ones that are making the decision. Now, if they think, I'm just saying, if they love this guy that much, I'm just assuming now, if they like him that much, whether it's the Giants, whether it's Minnesota, because Minnesota now has two first round picks, so they might want to try to move up. If one of those teams wants him, you can't gamble that he's going to drop. Like, you could look at the draft and say, oh, yeah, well, if the Giants don't take him there, Tennessee don't need a quarterback. Atlanta doesn't need a quarterback now. Chicago's going to have someone else at nine. The Jets aren't taking a quarterback. And now Minnesota's sitting at 11 thinking, oh, yeah, he'll drop to us. But again, you can't assume that because even if the Giants don't take him at six, someone else might trade up or the Giants might trade back up into the first. You know, like, you can't. My thing is, you can't take a chance. If you are in a position to draft a guy that you like, you can't assume that he's going to be there later on, because chances are he's probably not. We've seen it too much. You know, all it takes is one team to really like a player, and we've seen it, right? All it takes is that one team to say, oh, I need that guy. That's the guy that's going to change everything for us. I'm not saying J.J. McCarthy is going to be this great quarterback, but someone thinks that. And it only takes one team to think that.
Yeah, I understand that. But I've never seen I've never seen any player of his caliber be the coveted by any team like that. I've never seen that. You know. Hey. And like I said, you know,
if you're a team desperate for a quarterback, and if you think or you're, you know, like we talked about this too, with about Zach Wilson and all these other guys. If one OC thinks, oh yeah, I could turn that guy into a franchise quarterback, right? Obviously, they just thought that with Zach Wilson. And we see where that went.
And that's what was wrong with us is the fact that we so desperate that we're blinded by the whole situation. That's the problem. You know, because to me, again, it sounds like I'm hating on the kid and I'm trying to, like, I'm plotting his demise or something. It's just not that. What I want for this kid, so badly for this kid, is for him to end up as a backup somewhere where he could hone his skills as a pro. Because I think the way his mind works, when you said he's smart, I wasn't trying to use that as a bad thing. I was trying to show you the difference in the game at the picking at the top. You understand me? Because if you take that kid and bring him into a fold somewhere where the starting quarterback is a good to kind of slightly above average quarterback that's played in the NFL for a little bit, he could learn from Hillenon under him. The offensive line is good. Okay, there's one or two pretty good offensive players on there. The coach is like a okay offensive coach that everybody knows, that has a nice system. You know what I mean? You put him there, right? He grasps at the system. He understands it. He learns it, because I think that's the kind of player he is, where then he becomes a pro. And I think you would see him turn into something that could be possibly an actual really useful quarterback in the NFL. I think that kid could be a starter in the NFL going forward if he's given that kind of chance. But to me, the demise of a player like that is picking him that high. Chris and I had this conversation sometime this week, I think, off, you know, we had a conversation, you know, we were just talking about it, about just the state of the NFL and quarterbacking. And one of the things, you know, I think it was just after the Justin Fields trade, and we were talking about the demise of all these young quarterbacks. And one of the things is the fact that a lot of those kids don't happen to be as lucky as Justin Fields and end up going to a coach that actually cares and will give him the best chance to thrive. You will end up in getting picked so high and you will be expected to win now, or you won't get a chance to play in the NFL after that. You will get minimal chances to do anything in the NFL. And because of that, you will never have a proper career. What is best for you is for you to sit behind somebody for a year or two and be able to be called on after you've gathered enough info to back up the little of what you had in college and where you've kind of grown yourself into a pro-ish type guy where you all you need is the fire now, right? You need to be thrown in because you've kind of, you understand me? You need the blacksmith now. You're made of the metal, but you're not properly honed yet. And right. You need the fire. And then you get hit. But because you're made of what it is to become a pro, the hitting, instead of breaking you, it makes you into the football player that you're supposed to be. To me, that's what that kid needs. Well, taking him up that high, in my opinion, is gonna destroy him. And that's why I'm so passionate about him not going that high. I just do not believe the Giants are capable of being able of doing this for him. Well, I don't think at all that's what they're gonna do.
Well, the Giants, just for argument's sake, the Giants and Minnesota both are in a position to be able to do it because they both have quarterbacks now under contract, right? The Giants have Daniel Jones, and Minnesota just signed Sam Darnold. Now, I'm not saying that's going to make them win, but that's going to buy them a year, like you said, to have JJ sit for a year behind those guys.
Okay, think about what you just said for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Look at both of the situations. Daniel Jones, right, is Daniel Jones's situation is one of turmoil, in my opinion, because he is fighting for his life to become the starter that he wants to be. Injury derailed the awakening, right? So he's still a budding pro-ish player, right?
Right.
Then you're throwing a backup into this? He ain't ready to do this. The Viking situation maybe you're talking about. But even worse, this is Darnold we're talking about.
Right.
If they get the kid, put him behind Darnold, the moment Darnold sucks, Darnold to the bench.
Right. Well,
you understand what I'm saying?
That goes back to the team, though, if that's what they want to do, right?
Right, but that's why it matters. That's why it matters who, because, again.
All right, so who's in a position to do this in the first round?
That's the question. That's the question, man. Because again, it goes back to the conversation we were having. This conversation goes so deep. Because it goes back to, you know, who really wants to win in the NFL? Everybody's getting paid. Every team shares all the money. Everybody's getting paid. Where's the passion to actually win games? You know, everybody has their fan base spending millions of dollars buying jerseys, for tickets. They're raising prices. Even when the team's losing, they're raising prices every year. Nobody cares, you know? So who actually is bringing in coaches that could teach, front offices that actually care? There's not that many of them. You know what I mean? That's not many of them. I think even in situations where the coaches is not that bad, the front offices suck. The front offices suck. Because you know what? I might be completely wrong about the Jerry Jeudy deal in Cleveland, but tell me what Jerry Jeudy has done in the league to deserve that contract. I understand how much potential he has, but right. Tell me what he's done to deserve this contract. Well, you haven't learned as a front office that you don't pay that kind of money for guys just on potential?
Well, three out of his 4 years, I mean, they're not awful years, but yeah, they probably overpaid a little bit for him, I would say. A
little bit.
He's not awful, but you got to remember.
Chris, he's not awful at all, Chris. But say the numbers again. Say it out loud to yourself, please. Hey, no.
Well, say this out loud. Who was throwing him the ball his 4 year career? Do you want me to go down that list?
I understand that, but also, right? But the kind of wide receiver that gets money the way the money he's talking about catches balls from anybody and makes them look good. Let's talk about that. Because a few years ago, we had a guy from the Tennessee Titans catching the ball, right? For Arizona, Tennessee Titans, wherever he went, he was catching the ball for whoever it was. That didn't matter. He was putting up numbers and he got paid for it, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what wide receivers do. You catch the ball. It did not matter who's throwing you the ball, you catch the ball. As simple as that. You understand me?
Yeah.
Now,
you guys get the ball thrown to you, obviously.
Exactly. Jerry Jeudy's issues. I've watched Jerry Jeudy play enough up close because my son lives in Colorado and on film to tell you that his potential is through the roof. He could be one of the best wide receiver in the NFL tomorrow if he wanted to. I could also tell you that it doesn't seem like he wants it. That's what I could tell you. And maybe they're paying him because they think a change of scenery is what he needs. But last time I checked, they don't pay people on that, bro. You serious?
Well, the big thing
is that's what I'm gonna. If I'm paying you that kind of money, I'm paying you on the fact that if I change your scenery, you're gonna be better. He didn't only show the fact that he literally looked lazy. People called him out on him to the point where he had a whole fight with a famous comedian on the sideline.
Again, this goes back to this goes back to the GMs or the coaching thinking that they could, just like what you're saying about JJ McCarthy, right? You're saying the same thing about Jeudy. This is what you think. Again, a coaching staff might think a totally different thing. Just what you said. All right, this kid's lazy. All right, I could push him. I could get him. I could get him to play hard, right? That's all I have to do. I just have to get this kid to play hard. Oh, I could do that, right? Coaches think they think they could, you know, turn anybody into a superstar or turn it, you know, like.
Especially if it's their guy. I understand what you're saying, man.
Just think about it.
I understand what you're saying, bro. I'll get you.
An example. His first year in the league, he had Drew Lock, Jeff Driscoll, and Brett Rypien as his starting quarterback.
Do you see how much yards he had that year?
He had 856.
How many touchdowns?
Three.
The second year he had, how many yards he had?
Second year he had, again, this time he had Teddy Bridgewater as his quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And for most of it, he had 14 games, so he was the starter for most of it. Then Drew Lock, three. That year he went Jerry Jeudy, where is he? He only played 10 games and only 5 games he started.
Mm.
So he only had 38 catches for 467, no touchdowns.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
If you who you say you are, right? Why are you not starting every game that you're not injured for?
Listen, I don't know the situation that
you're in. Uh-huh.
Right? He could have been hurt though. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Oh no, no. I'm going off of information that I know of.
Okay. But again,
I'm just telling you.
Right. I'm just saying also, if another coach thinks that they could push this kid and make him into the, you know, into what we think he could be, then yeah. You know?
All I'm saying is this, right? It's that there is not a lot of cohesion going on. Because I think the Browns coaches are great. I think the front office and the Browns coaching staff is not in link with what's going on. They're just not. That's not. I think the Browns front office does one move and the coach is doing another thing. Because the way the coaches move is one leg is going one way and then one leg is going the other way. I always felt that way, you know. And anytime they're moving in the same direction, a lot of good things happen. That's the crazy thing about the Browns. It's very apparent when they're moving like-mindedly, you know. Right. And when they're not, it's also very apparent. And I don't think this Jerry Jeudy thing is a like-minded move, in my opinion. You know, but again, I could be completely wrong. Right. The reason why
I don't know.
The reason why I am so adamant about that Jerry Jeudy thing is because I had heard whispers from people that are very familiar with the Denver Broncos about his behavior and the way he carries himself and the way he practices. The dude didn't care.
Right.
And then he was having arguments with people. Then he was having arguments. And then when Steve Smith, the former wide receiver, who literally watched his film and critiqued him and said, hey, listen, your game sucks. For wide receiver that's been in the game for that long, you should not be running routes the way you're running routes like not right now. That's not good. And instead of, hey, Unc, listen, man, you know, this is what's going on, so and so and so and so. Because that's his job. His right. job on the NFL Network is to critique you.
Right. I remember.
So if you have an issue with him, right, it's not a personal bite at you. You call him on the side. And you go, hey, I wasn't feeling what you're saying. The reason why my game looks like that is like this. And he would give you pointers because he went through the NFL. Actually, if there's anybody that could point you through difficulties in NFL, it's that dude, Steve Smith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would take pointers from him. No? No. Absolutely. I physically fight or physically confront him. No. Come on, bro. That's the attitude of somebody that you want to pay that kind of money to?
Listen, I agree. But again, it only takes one guy, and we've seen it. One coach to say, you know what? I can fix this guy. I can talk to him. You know? That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Anyway, we went far off a tangent, man. Look at what Sean Payton thought he could do with Russell Wilson.
No, he did not, actually. Right. It turns out once he learned about everything that was going on in the office, he had already made up his mind about him, and he was ready to ship him out the moment he got in town. Shannon Sharpe said that was his attitude the moment he walked in, that he didn't want anything to do with him, which was the detriment to the Broncos up front. Because I don't think that was the argument at all. Because If you, as the legendary coach you say you are, right, seeing a player of his caliber going astray, as you would say, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're so pissed that I'm gonna go clean house. Not even keeping in mind that the freaking Broncos are getting all this dude $86 million.
Right.
He's gotta go. He's gotta go. I can't deal with him. He's gotta go. Go to the man, pull the man aside, and go, bro, listen, man, this is not gonna fly here. This is not how we do business. You understand me? I'll put it to you this way. I don't care how much money you get paid. I'm the boss. We move the way I say we move. You understand me? That old office thing, these old parking spots, man, this shit's out. It's out. We're still going to start fresh. This is what we're going to do. And if he does not bite, then you make your move. But right. If you don't go in and throw him out without even going, bro, no. Let's do something, that's crazy. And that's why the criticism, that's why a lot of the ex-Broncos criticized him off the rip, because they felt like he never gave the QB a chance.
Right.
He just got pissed off because of the whole thing. You know what I mean? So, you know, you're right, man. Coaches have egos. And yeah, somebody will pick McCarthy high. You're right. I'm not going to argue on that. I just think, number one, I just don't think the kid is worth getting picked that high. Number two, I don't think it's good for his career to get picked that high. That's just my opinion. I could be totally wrong. That's just how I feel about the whole thing.
Yeah.
But we went way over on a tangent, yeah, talking about a million other things.
The part of it, I do agree. I don't think he should start right away. I don't think any of these guys should start. That's a whole other conversation. All these quarterbacks, they're rushing these kids to start, and it backfires. When you look at the data of the last few years of all these quarterbacks, you know, not doing well and crapping out after 3-4 years, they have to say to themselves, wait a minute, we're doing something wrong. They can't all be this bad. Right? I mean, it's just ridiculous about how many of these quarterbacks have been as bad as they've been. And they're all in the same situation. They're all being rushed to start game one. And
every crack football coach that's on YouTube, or crack pro football coach that's on Twitter, will tell you that every last one of these guys did not know how to play football, which is the most crap I've ever heard. You could line up every last one of those failed QBs, or quote unquote failed QBs, in the last 9 to 10 years, and you would be able to get a ton of highlights of them throwing absolute dimes, complete, over and over and over and over again, all over the field, making constantly beautiful throws over and over again. You know where they were making them? In college football.
Right.
You know where they weren't making them? In the NFL. You know why? Because these two animals are two separate things. People say, oh, it's football. No.
Definitely not.
People need to get over it. College football is not the NFL. It's not the same. I don't know how many times I had to say, this is not Madden. I promise you that NFL, I've heard enough pro football players say this. It is not the same. I've heard enough rookies coming into their second years explain the same thing. Sauce Gardner was in an interview. They was asking him about his first game, and he was saying the same thing. He was like, he just couldn't, the speed was bothering him. The speed of the game bothered him. He had to gather himself. No matter how much he had prepared for the speed of the game, he could not get himself settled enough to get it, because it's so different from what he had played. And that's cornerback. What do you think a quarterback is going through with all these intricate reads that he has to make? Are you kidding me? Come on, man.
That's why it makes no sense for these kids to start right away. And that's
Chris,
you know, that bottom out too quick. So, all right, here, real quick, because we got away from this. So we're picking 10th, right? So let's assume four quarterbacks are taken before the 10th.
Yeah, let's count that out. Because I see where you're going with that.
So that's four.
Right.
Let's say, for argument's sake, the two top wide receivers go.
Right. You're talking about Harrison and either Neighbors or Adunze. Right.
So let's say two. So that's six. All right. Right. Let's say two of the top tackles go.
Right. That's eight. Alt. That's Alt and either Fashanu or.
Right.
Alt and Fashanu. Right. And that's eight players.
And let's say the ninth player, let's say Brock Bowers goes before 10.
Yes.
We'll make it harder. Yes.
Right.
So we're sitting at 10 with the third best receiver, the third best.
The third best receiver, the third best tackle.
Right. Or trade down.
Tackle. Who's the third best tackle?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I mean, we
name the top four tackles. Make a list. Let me see.
All right. Let's say. Offensive tackle. Obviously, for the most part, Alt's been the number one. So we'll say he's number one.
Yeah. Number two,
either be the guy from Penn State. Fashanu. Yeah. Or Oregon State, Fuaga.
Fuaga.
Alabama, J.C. Latham. I don't think Mims is going to be an argument for the third.
No.
Okay.
No.
So let's go out of those two guys, out of those three, like how would you rank them? After Alt, who would you go 2, 3, 4?
Okay, I'll tell you right now. Okay. After Alt, I would go for Fashanu.
Okay.
So I would go Alt for Fashanu.
And then
I would go Fuaga.
Fuaga, okay. So you're taking him at 10 then?
Yeah.
Or are you taking either Adunzie or Neighbors at 10?
Yeah, man.
Because that's probably what we're going to be looking at.
Yeah.
Right? I mean.
I know. Chris, these two guys are just so good, man. They tickle my fancy in so many different ways as wide receivers that I salivate at the thought of having them around. But the crazy thing is that you have to break down what they do and fit them into what the Jets need. And that's where I think Adunze is kind of more like what we have already in Wilson.
Right.
Even if I think Adunze is faster, where I think he could take the speed down the field more. But I think when you're talking about underneath, I think they're like, and the crazy thing is their size, they kind of carry their weight a little bit the same. Neighbors is the guy, I would argue. You know, so I would go on out on a limb and say, given the position the Jets are in and what you would be asking the next player to do, I would think the Malik Neighbors would fit the situation more. So it would be between Neighbors and Fashanu and Emmy and Fuaga.
Right. See, like I'm kind of thinking of kind of gambling, I guess. I would trade down if I could get a second round pick.
Yeah. So somebody that's coming up to get Fuaga.
Right. One of the guys you mentioned. One of those four guys. Because I could see that happening. So let's say we go down to let's say Cincinnati. They're in 18.
Right.
Trade down to 18, we get their second round pick, which is 49th. So you get the 18 and the 49 now. So now at 18, you know you still got a really good receiver there, right? You're still going to have like...
You could get a guy Martin like... Thomas,
the other LSU guy.
At 18, you get a guy like Keon Coleman, Florida State. Yeah.
Either one of the Texas guys.
If he falls that far, because that kid is a problem. I don't know if he's going to fall.
That's the great thing. You know?
Like, yeah. Yep.
So that's where I think that they're thinking like, okay, yeah, we could get somebody really good at 10, but if we trade down and then that second round pick, that could be where you think.
Yeah, but I think probably that's where a place Latham would probably
that too.
You know, think about getting Latham. If you're at 18, if you drop, you know.
And then if you get that 49 pick.
Mm-hmm. If you get the 49 pick.
You're still going to get a decent receiver. You might get the kid from Georgia, Ladd McConkey, the kid from Michigan.
Oh, Maybe. He's more of a slot guy. Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying. Maybe.
And if not, you could always go linebacker there. You could go maybe.
You could go linebacker there. I agree.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the one thing I love about this draft now, like there's so many options.
If the teams are stupid enough and let a guy like Edrin Cooper fall. Oh my God. I'm not saying that's possible, but holy.
Right. Imagine your three linebackers are Cooper, CJ Mosley, and
to get Cooper to learn from Mosley and Williams. Right. Lord have mercy. I don't think that he's ever gonna fall that far. I think he's gonna get picked in the late first or early second anyway. So
and you still got other good linebackers too.
Yeah, there's not a lot of good, like really good ones. That's what I've heard because I haven't watched all of them. So I must stick to what I know. I know for sure that he's good. So yeah, I know the wide receivers is just crazy.
Yeah,
I also know the interior offense defensive line is somewhere you might go there. The sweat kid is if he's there, that's probably where I'm going. If he's still there on the board.
Right. Oh, you mean defensive tackle?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because if you go the offensive side, if you want to get like a guard in the second round too, that's a possibility.
Yeah, you could do that too. There's guys that are the guards are okay. I haven't watched that much of them. I watched some of the really good guys
like BB
I know their name. I know their names.
I just remember names. The kid from Kansas State is BB. There's a kid from UConn, Christian Haynes, who's supposed to be really good.
I didn't watch any of his games, so I didn't watch him too much. I did watch the kid from Georgia a little bit, the interior offensive lineman. I think he's more of a center.
Yeah.
I can't remember specifically. I watched him.
Well, the good thing is that I think the options are going to be there for us. I think that's the big thing. When you fill up with the job that Douglas has done in the offseason so far has been great, you know, for the limited cap space we had, number one, and number two, the options weren't that great to begin with, right? Because we talked about that at tackle. Like Tyron Smith was basically it at tackle when we were basically talking about who was going to be available. And we actually got the top tackle. We traded for one of the better guards in the league, and we traded for Morgan Moses as well. So, I mean, you can't kill Joe Douglas at all about this offseason.
No, he definitely did.
He took his time.
Yeah, he did take his time. Jets fans are mad because he took his time.
But that's what he does. That's what he's done every year.
Yeah. Overall, Sandwich Gate was fun.
Yes.
You know, getting Tyron Smith in town was fun. All they need to do is to shore up this, bring this home, man. Get some backup help, some depth at these position. At least get one defensive pass rusher, free agent guy. If former Raven from last year, what's his name? If he wants to come on down. I would be happy, Clowney. hey, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I'm pretty happy with what they've done.
No, exactly. And there might be more moves coming. Otherwise, we're going to go into the draft with a lot of options to fill, like, you know, the depth holes that are there now. So that's what we got to look forward to. But anyway, we're going to get more into the draft in the next few weeks leading into the draft, and we'll get more into the tackles and the interior linemen as well, wide receivers, the positions that we're going to really look at. So hopefully you guys will be here for the next few weeks with us going into the draft and previewing the draft as well. So hang in. We'll be doing it starting next week, and hopefully you join us next week. See you then.
Take it easy, guys.